help you today, sir?
I just heard that you are a spirit minister, and I can hear you preaching, and I praise God for men like you all the time.
Oh, well, all the glory to God. I'm nothing without Him and His Word.
Amen. I know two other spirit preachers. One is Kerrigan Scully, who was spirit preached here for a while.
When?
And probably earlier last summer.
Oh, last summer. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know who he is.
But Daniel Lee was just here a month ago.
Not familiar with Daniel Lee.
Daniel Lee is from Juneau, Alaska.
Okay.
He was doing a ministry of following what was all going on in our world, and was kind of, you know, gathering information. That's how he had his income, and he heard a calling from the Lord to go street preach.
Oh, okay.
So he started to street preach in Juneau, Alaska, down by the ship yards.
Yeah, yeah.
Cruise people, you know, come in. And then he felt like the Lord was preaching to the southern 48 states.
Oh, okay.
He grew up in Texas.
Oh, okay.
So he came down. I think he started his first trek around for winter semester. Started over at the Fire and Water Festival in New Jersey or Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And then worked his worked across to Indiana. I think was the first one that he actually school was open.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He got there.
So you're talking about Daniel Lee. How do you know Kerrigan Skelly? How do you know?
Daniel Lee.
Oh, through Daniel Lee.
Yeah.
Does Daniel Lee have a ministry online?
He does.
Is there a name of it?
It is Fire. Don't have my phone. Something. Firebrand,
something. I'll find it. Yeah, you got a gospel card, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I know who Kerrigan is. I've known about Kerrigan for years. We go into the world. I retired early, and we travel all over the country, and we go down. We've spent most of the last 3 months in Florida, and the reason we go to Florida is not to enjoy the nice weather, but it's because you can't throw a stick down there without hitting a festival on the weekend. So we're from Wisconsin originally, and you know, there's nobody outside in January and February. So we have learned to, like the sheep with the shepherds, take their sheep to the better pastures. We migrate to the better pastures, and so we're just working our way north now. We decided to come and preach here. But we preach Christ crucified, and we preach by his shed blood, people must come to repentance. And, you know, the reason I'm preaching this to you is because these are all Bible terms, but the problem in America is everybody's got the Bible terms all messed up. A lot of people know about Jesus Christ, his death, burial, shed blood, resurrection. Most people have that right, unless you're a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness. Most people get that. Where the water gets muddied is when we start talking about repentance. So I got these people coming up to me that are worldly, carnal, sinful, false church-going people, and they go, yeah, we repented one time. And I go, is repentance a one-time thing? And they go, well, yeah. And I go, now let me explain repentance. So I go through what repentance is, a changing of your mind and a changing of your ways. And it's not a one-stop, one-time thing. It's a everyday cycling of testing and repenting. And you're on the road, you get off the road, repent, get on the road. Oh, I overcorrected, repent, get on the road. I look there, I shouldn't repent. I said that, I shouldn't repent. It's all about walking in the ways of God. So by faith and repentance, we come out of the culture. Here's a big one. Come out of the false church systems. The church systems, I do not know of one in years of traveling and preaching that I would unite to that's in a building. They all keep sin in false ways. One sin. You keep one sin. If you were a pastor and you had a church and you invited me and I'd say we'd love to come and you keep one sin, whether it's you say the F word from the pulpit or you allow girls to walk around in harlotry or you're selling the things of God. One sin, I will come up to you and confront you and say, why do you do that? It's not scriptural. And if you won't repent of it, I can't unite to you. How many sins did it take to get Adam and Eve thrown out of the garden? One. So how many sins did it take Ananias and Sapphira to get burnt into or to be killed? How about Nahab and Abinadu? I have a hard time saying that. The two guys in Leviticus 10. How many sins did it take for God to turn them into charcoal briquettes?
One.
One. So one sin. So I don't know anybody in the building. So when we talk about repentance, people go, yeah, but they don't understand biblical repentance is holiness and obedience to the scriptures. I'm going through the gospel. And when God sees a willing vessel that's willing to have a saving faith and is willing to repent of everything, in Acts 5, God says he sends the Spirit, not to those that just believe. No, it doesn't say that. It says to those who obey him. It says it specifically. He will send the Holy Spirit to those. God knows. He knows who's going to be in heaven and who isn't. He knows if you and I are ever going to obey him. And if we are, he'll send the Spirit. If he goes like Pharaoh, I know he will not let my people go, God said. God hardened Pharaoh's heart because he said he's never going to be mine. I already know the future. He's never going to choose me. Harden his heart. He's a vessel of wrath now. But God wanted him to turn, but he didn't want to. So by faith and repentance, when God sees a willing vessel, you're born from above. Holy Spirit, you're born again. And the fruit you're born again is another big problem. Everybody says, well, yeah, I'm born again. But I always ask them, well, what's your fruit? And they go, what do you mean? And I go, do you live like the world? Well, yeah. Do you follow false churchianity? Yeah.
Well, I sin every day.
Yeah. And they sin and they haven't studied the scriptures after 30, 40 years to know what God conforms us to. So that's the gospel that I preach in the streets is by faith and repentance and new life. The fruit is holiness and obedience to the scriptures. Not to my word, your word, or anybody else's word. Not to Kerrigan Skelly words, no pastor words. To the scriptures. And then the Bible says, I've had it up to here with Calvinism. That's where Skelly and I would agree. Calvinism, telling people, raise your hand, say a prayer, easy believism, you're going to heaven no matter what, guaranteed, can't lose your salvation, once saved, always saved. The Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. Nowhere. The Bible says you have to endure in a saving faith every day, every week, every month, every year. And so that's the gospel I preach. Now, that gospel I preach keeps me separated from men like Kerrigan Skelly. Do you know why? Because Kerrigan Skelly, I have a testing. If you go on your phone, I love him. I've reached out to him a dozen times. He won't talk to me. He's never emailed me once. I tried to start a conversation. Just met another man that says he knows him. If you know him, do you have direct access to Skelly?
No.
Oh, that man says he knows him. I said, tell him James from Don't Perish wants to have a three-way call with him. He teaches things like non-essentials. So let's say you're a Baptist and I'm a house church guy. And we meet, and I go, well, what do you think of this? Well, yeah, I believe in that gospel. Well, what do you think about this? Well, we differ on that. That's non-essential. What is non-essential in God's word according to what's in context for us for today to obey and walk in? Can you think of anything that's non-essential that God says you don't have to keep it today? I'm talking about what's in context. We don't keep Torah law. We do keep some pre-Torah. We do keep some pre-Torah law things. We don't keep Torah law. 613, but we keep the law of Christ and the New Testament and the Ten Commandments, which is Christ. We're resting in Christ now. He's our Sabbath rest. We don't need a Saturday Sabbath anymore. Christ is our rest. But we do keep the Ten Commandments. What is non-essential? Kerrigan calls himself interdenominational, meaning he unites to all these denominations. How can we do this? Romans 16:17 says, mark those who cause division by leaving sound doctrine. Kerrigan will say things like, you can watch sports as long as you don't get carried away. But the Bible says, set nothing vile before your eyes. NFL, NHL, NBA, they're all anti-God, anti-Christ, pro-LGBT, worldly and carnal. How can a child of God partake in that?
Right.
So I'm not picking on Kerrigan here. What I'm saying is, this is why I don't find church bodies that I would unite to, because they've all compromised to have church bodies. And so in order to have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 200 people in a building, what do you have to do?
Allow the sinner to come in.
You have to allow leaven and sin to come in. Yeah, amen. Thank you for knowing that. So that's why I believe we're in the last days. And Jesus said in Luke 18:8, will there be any faith left when I return? And look around you. Thousands of people. Jesus said few are going to find eternal life. And if you look up, I encourage you to use the Greek and the Hebrew words. If you look up that Greek word, you know what another word in English, I tell people this all the time. You know what another word in English is for the few that Jesus said? Puny.
Puny.
A puny number of people are going to find eternal life. And I've got on my teaching blog, I'd encourage you to go there. Here's another thing for free. I don't beg people for money. I don't take people's money. I don't sell the things of God. Men like Kerrigan and all these other ministries, what are they all doing? Selling the things of God. Jesus turned over tables for that, did he not?
Mm-hmm.
They're selling tracts, they're selling books, they're selling t-shirts, they're selling crosses, If God wants you in ministry, he's going to have you work and he's going to fund you. You don't need to demean the gospel by selling it and doing all these false ways. So these are just a few of the things that separate us. So Jesus said, will there be any faith left? I believe we're in the last days. Puny number. 8 got off the ark. Only 8 out of maybe a couple hundred thousand on the earth. 3 come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Thousands of people. That was a major trading city. Ready? 2 come out of the desert. And only 2 go into the Holy Land out of 600,000 men in Egypt. Joshua and Caleb. That's the few Jesus would have been talking about. He was a prophet. He would have been talking about the Old Testament. The new was still being established. 2 out of 600,000. I did the math. I'm terrible at math, but as close as I can surmise, take 2 out of 600,000 that make it into the Holy Land. Take America, 330 million. This is just going to give you a little bit of a number. 330 million Americans, it's about 1,200 people that would come out of America. Now, Now I'm not saying that's all that's going to come out of America. I'm just giving you that reference number. So all the time when I meet people in the streets, they're always trying to like, and you haven't, praise God, they're always trying to defend sin. They're always trying to say, well, it's okay to compromise to have people. They're always trying to defend error. And you see very few people lifting up truth, lifting up the gospel, not willing to compromise, calling out all sin. That's the only way you're going to walk in holiness, truth, and the Spirit is by leaving all sin and false ways. Look at the American church system and the culture. What's the fruit of compromising? Like you said, LGBT's coming in. They're going back to Rome. They're starting to unite to Rome. You know this whole thing that's going on? You know this Jesus Revolution movie that's out? And the revivals that have run around Ashbury? I've got teachings on all this on my teaching blog. They're all united to the Roman Catholics. They're all united to a group called the New Apostolic Reformation. Are you familiar with them?
No, but Daniel is. He shared that with
me. Mike Bickle and all them. All these groups, they're all uniting. And they're telling me that I'm mean-spirited and unloving because I won't unite and I won't join them. But there's no way I will join them because my allegiance is to Christ and his word and his Spirit. And as soon as I uncover sin and heresy, I'm not going to go along with it. And this Jesus movement, look at the fruit of it. Greg Laurie. You know what Greg Laurie is? You know what Greg Laurie is doing? You ready for this? Maybe you know this, maybe you don't. He's promoting Alice Cooper as a true Christian.
I haven't heard that.
He wrote a book about it. He wrote a book. I got it on video. It's right on my website on my Unbiblical Teachers Testing. He wrote a book about it, and he said Alice Cooper loves God, is a great man of God. Alice Cooper goes on stage, and they pretend to cut his head off, and a lady carries it around and kisses it, and he's demonic. He's demonic. And Greg Laurie says that he is a Christian. See, Greg Laurie is part of the Great Deception. He was trained up by none other than Billy Graham. Billy Graham, one of the greatest false teachers of our day. Did you know that? Easy believism, come as you are, then that really is code word for stay as you are. You never really have to leave your sin. So yet, if you look around and you see all these things, and that's what my website does for free, is it tests all these things and brings people back to sound doctrine. And down there, they got a lumberjack show. And the guy revs up his chainsaw, and he does lumberjack, and he runs on a log, and he draws a crowd. I preach Christ crucified in the oracles of God. Do you think I draw a crowd? This is the fruit of the American church system. This is the fruit of the world. Judgment is coming. It's why we travel and we love our neighbor to just go. I retired early. We fund ourselves. My wife and I are van dwellers. We live in our camper van. So we sold everything. I had a beautiful homestead. I sold it. This reminds me of my homestead. I sold it to go into the world because you know what? We're getting old. We're going to die. I got to leave all that anyway. Right? So I've been saying a lot. What say you? Anything I've said that doesn't line up to Scripture?
No, not yet.
Yeah. Do you belong to a body, sir? I mean, you probably don't want to tell me at this point, but...
I do.
Okay.
I go to First Baptist Church in LJ, Georgia.
Yeah. So a guy down here just told me the Baptist Church. The Baptist Church, do you know when they were invented?
Probably first time they set foot on the United States.
Yeah, 1620, about 1620. And they keep a lot of false ways. Christmas and Easter and Good Friday are pagan ways. And I love to give this to people. I want to put the seed in you. So Easter's coming. When they practice Good Friday and Sunday resurrection, they'll call it resurrection. They don't call it Easter.
Resurrection Sunday.
Okay, Resurrection Sunday. He didn't rise on Sunday.
Right.
Okay, and he didn't die on Friday. Right. Jesus isn't a liar. He went in the grave. He was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. there was two Sabbaths that week. There's a high Sabbath. He goes in the grave Wednesday night. They get him down before the high Sabbath Thursday. He's in the grave Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, three nights. He's in the grave Thursday all day, Wednesday to Thursday, Thursday to Friday, Friday to Saturday. He rises late Saturday. You know why he rises late Saturday? I gave you a little bit of a clue before, the Ten Commandments. He's our Sabbath rest. We don't keep the Sabbath anymore as a Saturday. We're resting in Christ. All the people that are practicing Easter and Good Friday are practicing a lie, man-made traditions that Roman Catholics handed down. Mm-hmm. It's not in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So your Baptist pastor that's allowing that, he's in heresy and sin. And if he keeps doing that, he's going to lose his soul because...
He's trying to move away from
it. Well, it's easy to do. Just say, I'm stopped doing it. Right. He's going to lose his soul because Hebrews 10:26 says, if you live in willful sin, there's no...
You're not coming into the kingdom.
Thank you. One lie is going to keep you out. And Christmas, Easter, Good Friday, worldliness, carnality, all of these things are lies. So I would encourage you, you might think... One guy said to me, I go to that church, but I'm not united to it. I said, if you go and you sing and you pray with them, you're united to them. So you might want to ponder that, because when the fire of God comes down, how close do you want to be to the people that would get the fire? I want God to know, I left them. I'm not by them. I don't want the sparks to get me. And I care for your soul. I would encourage you, you'd be better off to rebuke them in love, tell them to repent of all those things and get their life in line with the scriptures and separate from them, because you can't bring the truth from the inside. That's like being in quicksand. You're all going down and you're trying to save them. You're all going to go down. You get out, you clean yourself off, then you throw the lifeline, and guess what will happen? Maybe if you're blessed, you might find one soul that might want to come out. In the years I've been doing this, I've talked to well over 1,000 pastors one-on-one. It's got to be well over that. And I've rebuked and loved and called them out of their sin. Do you want to know how many pastors I know that have come out of their false traditions and worldliness? Even the ones that have admitted to me and said, you're right, Christmas is pagan. You're right, Easter and Good Friday were lies. You're right, our young girls dress like harlots. You're right, you're right, you're right. Do you know how many of them have repented to change all of that? Zero. Not one. And here's another thing. I know a small handful of people that were in the pews that heard that truth that had come out. And I'm talking like four or five. That's it. Out of the thousands. Because see, they think there's safety in numbers. Think about that. So if I stand outside your Baptist church, they're going to go, oh, there's 200 of us. Look at, there's only two of you. You can't be right. Well, then you're wrong against the Muslims because there's like a billion of them. And you're wrong against the Catholics because truth is not indicative on numbers. God with the minority is the majority. And so I would encourage you. I have a testing on the Baptist faith. It's called Are You Baptist or Biblical on our teaching blog. I'd encourage you to go much deeper and look into those things and go, wait a minute, if they won't instantly repent, they're serving people, not God. And how long has he been a pastor that has taken him this long? This is not good.
Well, he came from the youth pastor and became pastor. He's been pastor now for 1 or 2 years.
Yeah. It's still too long to keep sin. Leaders are supposed to know different. You know, I always say this, ready? If I showed up at your Baptist church and they let me go up to the pulpit and they said, yeah, you could say something. And if I went up and I used the F word, how long would it take for them to rip me down from there?
One sin,
one little word, they rip me down. But yet they can do their, lady, you notice my wife covers her head. The Bible teaches that. They won't dare introduce that. All the men of the faith, of the Baptist faith that they would look up to, like Edwards and Spurgeon and Calvin and Luther, they all taught women to cover their heads with a veil. You know when that changed? You're old enough to know in the 60s and 50s or late 60s, 70s, they took off their bras, they took off everything. And even before that, the Christian women of the body of Christ, even if they weren't fully biblical, 100, 150 years ago, they all covered their heads and wore dresses. And pornography was showing your calf if you were a woman. What's pornography today? Oh, it's lewdness. So the pastors have allowed this fade because they keep compromising to keep the buildings filled. And your pastor might say, well, if I do this and everybody leaves, how am I going to teach them? Well, they're not the people of God if they leave. Then you call them to repentance by the gospel.
I see that my family has left me.
A lot of false converts in the church system. You test all that. And you got my email.
Got your card?
Yeah. And don't lose your soul being united to fellowship. What you need to do is you need to repent and come out and be a Noah. You kind of look like Noah with your beard.
Well,
you need to be a Noah in your generation and stand and be the witness and the example and don't compromise.
I work with a homeless shelter in Jasper. I have property in LJ, go to church in LJ, but I work with that ministry. The name of the ministry is refugeinjesus.org. So go to our website.
Refuge in Jesus?
Yep.
Okay. I'll look it up.
Check us out.
Yeah.
And we've been in existence now for 13 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the city's fighting us, the county's fighting us, and now the state's fighting us.
Oh, okay.
We're downtown currently. We're to be out of downtown by March 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And in our new place, but when we started moving into our new place, they said, hey, you need a septic system, you need...
Oh, yeah, yeah, all their regulations and rules.
Now you're a commercial building, you got to have an approved kitchen, you got to have everything.
Yeah.
To their specifications.
Yeah.
And making sure that you're...
So what do you need a building for? I'm just curious.
To home the...
So you're
to work with them.
Yeah, for the homeless people. I got you. Yeah.
Spread the gospel to them. And the other two, physical and finding a job, those are kind of secondary to leading them to Christ.
Yeah.
So for any problems they have, you know, once they, you know, are come to the recognizing their, you know, faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Then they don't have as much problem figuring out how to find a job and becoming
financially
responsible, finding a home for their family.
I deal with every homeless guy I find, and I have to say this too, maybe you guys find some that want to change. I have dealt with thousands of homeless men face to face, and I'm not poor. I have resources. I'm not poor. And I tell them, you want to get off the street? I give them the gospel. I'll feed them, you know, one time. If they need a blanket or something, I'll say, we can get you off the street. We'll get you cleaned up. Whatever addictions you have, we'll get you a job. We'll get you on this. We'll get you set up. Do you know how many men have called me in all the years I've been doing this?
Zero.
One lady's husband. One man's wife. Excuse me. One man's wife called me when I offered him that, and she said, we need money. And I said, well, I don't just give out cash. I said, what's the need? We need to get to the food bank, and we don't have any money, blah, blah. And I said, well, I don't give money. I'm already leaving town. I said, I'll buy a cab for you to come get you, pick you up, take you to the food bank, bring you back. I'll put on my credit card. She goes, we need money. Boom. She hung the phone up. That's the only call I've ever gotten from the street.
So it was a negative. Yeah.
Most of the homeless people in America
want to be homeless.
They want to be. I'm glad you know that. Most of them are scammers.
I classified them into two. The ones that, you know, want to be, and one that didn't have a choice.
Okay, like, yeah. I have never met one of those yet that didn't have a choice. They all seem like career scammers. You know, I see the guy walking like this when he's begging. Later in the day, I see him riding a bike down the street. He's doing perfect. Or he's carrying his cane over his shoulder. Most of what I see is professional scammers. And this isn't a third world country. There's food everywhere.
I'm finding out which one are the scammers and we're weeding them.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, and what you find out is at these, like the shelters, I'm learning. I said, can't you go to a shelter? They said, they won't have me. And I said, why?
I won't work.
We got to do their program, get off drugs and alcohol, stop smoking and get a job. And I said, well, the Bible says if you won't work, you won't eat. If you're not missing arms and legs, you look young enough. One guy told me, I said, you're in Florida? I said, how'd you get here? Hitchhiked. I said, from where? Wyoming. And I said, did you get a ride a lot? He goes, a few, but he goes, it was a long walk. Carrying a 50-pound bag. He can carry a 50-pound bag from Wyoming to Florida, but he said, when I said to get a job, oh, I got a bad back. I can't work. Be careful. Be careful of those homeless guys. Preach the gospel. That's what they need most of all, and they need that call to repentance. But I would really challenge you about that Baptist faith. I don't want to see you lose your soul by uniting with people. You must come out of all sin. You can get your life in order, and those people that you know, then reach back to them. You may be the only true example to them. If you compromise with them, you all stay in the quicksand and sin together. You come out, and they say, why'd you leave? Well, because you won't leave this sin, this sin, this sin, this sin. Oh, that sin will show me why it's not in the Bible. And they go, oh, we lost somebody over sin. We got to start thinking about this. And probably if they change their ways, they'll empty out that building. They won't need a building. They can meet in your home. That's the beauty of the New Testament body of Christ.
Keep looking up.
I hope to hear from you sometime.
All right.
We love you. God be praised.